Venice. Venice, in mid-July. The smell of spices and dead fish. The water seemed heavy in the canals, and the heat was palpable. Even though the city was cooler than the fens and swamps around Ravenna through which they'd travelled. With Loredan's support, Swan brought his Stradiotis right up to the Lido and paid an exorbitant sum, which he hoped to recoup from the signory, to keep their horses fed. Then he paid them and released them to their families and got a whooping cheer from most of them. The Cantecuzeni had left their women and children in the Morea. They sat like ghosts at a funeral, waiting for the merriment to end. Thomas Cantacuzenos glanced at Swan. "They like you," he said. Then he handed his horses over to the farmer and walked away. "I cannot take you to Albania," Swan said for the third time to his new wife.
"There are women attached to your compagna," she said, "or so I hear.
Laundresses and whores."
"Ah, that's what you think of women,"
Sophia pounced.
"No, for the love of God, Sophia.
They are, in fact, fine women, most of them, but hardened to the conditions like the men. And they know the risks. If we are captured by the Turks, the best fate you can expect is a lifetime of sexual slavery." Swan was gesturing with his hands, pleading. Sophia raised an eyebrow.
"You think that I don't know the risks?"
she asked archly. Swan sat down on the edge of the bed. They were guests in the Carbembo, and their window opened not on the canal at the front, but on the courtyard, and as they were three stories up, they had a view over the red-tiled roofs of the city. Two houses away, a cat slipped from behind a chimney pot and began to trot along a roofline. "Sophia, this is a military expedition. I am absolutely willing to have you beside me for diplomacy."
"Spying?"
Sophia shot back.
"Yes,"
Swan said, "but not this. I'm taking a sum of money to the Albanians who may already have lost." She looked up at him.
"I want your word of honor that this isn't the beginning of a lifetime of me being the good little wife at home while you roam about killing infidels and tupping your various mistresses.
That is not what I signed on for.
Partners, that's what I wanted. And now, the very first time you're doing something interesting."
Swan was good enough at his life as an intelligencer to be able to look at things through the eyes of others. He looked out through his wife's eyes and nodded. "I regret that I do not have a high-level diplomatic job as my first married adventure," he said, "but I give you my solemn word that you will come on those, that we will be partners. And although I suspect it is cold comfort, I will ask you to follow up on some important items here while I am gallivanting with my mistresses in Albania. I'm going to introduce you today to a woman who—" He paused. "Who I think that you could run as an agent." Sophia smiled.
"How do you run an agent, my love?"
Swan smiled broadly. "It's like friendship, except without so much of the element of trust," he said. "Marie is very important. I'm sure you can win her."
"But not trust her?"
Sophia asked. "In fact, I do trust her," he said. "I let the bon mot take the place of good agent handling. She's loyal and, to some extent, patriotic." Sophia smiled.
"I'll do my best," she said. "After being a governess to difficult children, I would think I was perfectly trained to lead agents, or run them."
She smiled benevolently.
"Or change their nappies."
4 hours later, Swan and